God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 11. As I begin, let me start with the fear of blood as the title of our message is. We live in a society that, you know, if you get blood work, you know, where they take your blood from your body and they run some tests, you notice the person will come up to you wearing gloves. And one of the reasons why they wear those gloves is to protect themselves from your blood. Just in case if your blood has any diseases that they don't want to have. You know, fair enough, I'm not necessarily complaining about that. We live in a society where if blood is spilled or any other type of bodily fluids, all of a sudden people are now panicking a little bit. We now live in a society that is filled with blood because we keep hearing about these types of diseases that can be passed from one person to another. Needless to say, our society in today's world would be shocked and appalled at what Moses did in our Old Testament reading, taking blood and sprinkling it upon people. If you don't think our world would be shocked, just picture what would happen if during one of my services, we would do something like this. Just repeat this Old Testament, so to speak, event. What would happen if I started sprinkling you with blood? Well, you'd probably say, Pastor, you know, that passage comes from Exodus. I think we'd all be exiting at this moment and not coming back. Fair enough. Our society is just not used to these type of things. So what do we do with passages like this as Moses is sprinkling blood as sort of a new covenant? Well, we have to ask, well, what's going on here? That's the important question. We shouldn't just be running away in fear just because that's what people in our society do whenever we hear blood, whenever we see it being sprinkled. No, we should be asking, what is God trying to teach us here in this Old Testament reading, because we have something to learn. So let's go back to our Exodus passage. And we have to understand what's happening with the people of Israel and what's going on as God is sprinkling this, as he says, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you. First of all, let's pick up on that phrase, the blood of the covenant. Does that sort of sound familiar? Well, actually, this phrase does reoccur in Scripture. And I will admit we change one of the words, not to confuse you, but maybe to better explain in today's world. How about, this is the blood of the New Testament. Does that sound familiar? Hopefully you have a picture now in the back of your mind of celebrating the Lord's Supper, the very true body and blood of Christ with this bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of that faith, to remind us that, yes, we are in a special relationship with God. And if that's the image that you have in your mind, great, because now you're at the right place where I want you to be. Let's superimpose that image of what's happening in our Old Testament reading. This is the blood of the covenant. What's happening here? God is making a special promise with the people of Israel. They are now his people. He's going to be their God. And again, this is a sort of a one-way covenant. God is doing the action. God is achieving the results. And he's using blood. Why? Well, first of all, we got to remember what is pumping through us right now. Blood. What is our life source, so to speak? Blood. Picking up on that, in our community today, we even have a blood bank called Life Source. Which reminds me, on Tuesday I have to do my regular pilgrimage and donate because I am a regular donator, because blood is so important. And so God uses something that we understand, something we all have, to remind us of something, to sprinkle upon us. Now you got to understand something with the people during the Old Testament time. They didn't have 15 different changes of clothes. You know, if I did this here, you'd probably be a little offended, go home and quickly change. Not so with the people of Israel. They just might have had one outer garment, so to speak. And now they're wearing that blood, and that blood's going to be there for a while, which is actually a good thing, because it's going to remind them constantly, whenever they would see that blood, that they are in this relationship with God, this special relationship of God. Now, Scripture tells us a little bit more about what happens with blood. Our society may fear it because of disease, but strangely enough, it is that same blood, as Scripture says, that washes away our sin, that takes away our disease of sin, death, and eternal damnation, and brings us life. Scripture teaches very clearly that this is the blood of Jesus, as He shed His blood on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So this Exodus picture is giving us a little bit of a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future. When Jesus does go on the cross and die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, when Jesus is at the table with His disciples and says, "Take, drink, this is My blood, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins," it is this special relationship of the shedding of blood, of the covenant of God, that as Christians we trust, because this is God's Word. Even though our natural impulse, based because we're educated by today's society, is to run away from blood, we dare not run away from the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in His blood that we have life, the forgiveness of sins, eternal salvation. It is in Him we have eternal life. Yes, our world needs to understand a little bit better. Fair enough, I don't want those people who work in the health community to put their lives at jeopardy. But when we're talking about what God does in His promises, we better believe and trust in His promises with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Because the promises that are made by God through this special covenant are not the promises that are made by people. We live in a world where there are many broken promises. Even in our own lives, I'm sure we've made some promises that we had to go back on. Very often we are wooed by other people who are trying to get us to buy things or even vote for them with promises that we sometimes get a little skeptical and say, "Are you sure you can keep these promises?" They'll tell us yes, but our skepticism says, "I'm not too sure." Not so with God. God keeps all His promises, especially the promise of the blood of the covenant. You want proof on how God keeps His promises? Go to the end of our text. Notice what happens after this blood is sprinkled. Moses and some of the leaders of Israel go up, and they saw the God of Israel. Now, you got to remember, in Old Testament times, to see God was almost like a sentence of death. Because of our sin, God hates sin and would immediately just wipe us out, so to speak. Not so with this particular situation. Why? They were under this blood of the covenant. God was the one who called them. And they came up to God. And notice our text says God did not raise His hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God and they ate and they drank. They were in fellowship with God. This special relationship. Because they were chosen. Because God made His promise upon them. It wasn't because they did something in and of themselves, or that they themselves were special, or that they contributed a lot of money, or that they did special things, or the people just thought that they were the chosen ones. No, notice the action here. It is God who is doing the choosing. It is God who is doing the establishment of the covenant. Yes, the people in response to God's covenant says, "We will obey." But it was God who took the initiative. God who comes to us. God who comes to us in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our living lives filled with broken promises, and says, "Fear not anymore, I keep My promises. Fear not, I forgive you. Fear not, I love you." Yes, we have a loving, caring God that even in the midst of all our fears and anxieties, even in the midst of all our hang-ups, even in the midst of all our sins, and even in the midst of us being a little phobic of blood, He still comes to us and says, I am your God. I am your Savior. Believe and trust in the promises of God and you will live. You will have eternal life. So this day we rejoice. We give great praise and thanks that we now have a loving, forgiving God who has given us His unbreakable covenant for eternal life. Made with blood, His very own blood, He gives of Himself. Because if it was up to us and our unbroken promises, we would screw up this relationship. God doesn't want it screwed up. So He says, I will do it for you. He is the one who makes the covenant. He is the one who fulfills the covenant. He is the one that keeps the covenant. We just believe and trust and hang on to the words of God and say to the Holy Spirit, help us to understand. Help us to hang on, because my natural reaction is to fear. Because yes, we do live in a world with a lot of broken promises, with things that, phrases that say there's no such thing as a free lunch, and could this be too good to be true? The answer is, it is too good to be true. But as Christians, we believe and trust it with all our heart, soul, and strength. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.